Our Heavenly Father, we recognize your greatness. You are greater than everything that we can imagine. Your throne is lifted up. Your name is higher than any other name, Father God. We give you glory and honor, Father Lord, for who you are and what you're doing in our lives. You are the Alpha. You are the Omega. You are the beginning. You are the end. You are the author. You are the finisher of our faith, Father Lord. We bless you this morning. Thank you for your goodness. You are a good God. You are a powerful God. You are an almighty God. We worship you this morning, Father. Thank you, Lord, for receiving praises and honor from us. Lord, for the next few minutes, as you're going to speak to our hearts, I pray that you make us attentive and focused to your words. Speak to our hearts this morning. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a wonderful time. Please be seated. What a wonderful time of worship. And I'm so happy that God is a great God. He's also a good God. Amen. So for the next few minutes, we are going to sit in God's presence. And as for those who have been in our church for some time, you know that we are going through the book of Acts. And we are going to continue in our journey through the book of Acts today. And I want to speak about a topic called God's ultimate plan and purpose for our world. God's ultimate plan and purpose for our world. It is wonderful. It's a wonderful thought, and a few pointers I want to give you. And we will I want to go according to the Lord's doing. And please keep your ears open and focus for some more time. Now, let me give you a kind of a short recap of where we were when we had entered chapter number 12. So if you have your Bibles, just take it to chapter number 12 and put your finger there. We had come to this chapter and we saw that James was dead. Peter was in the prison. The church was united in prayer. But when you leave this chapter number 12, we see that Peter was freed by a heavenly intervention when God sent his angel and rescued Peter from the prison. And we saw that the church becomes amazed at this great act of God. But then we also see a couple of other things. We see King Herod, who was doing all this mischief, he dies. And we see the gospel is still multiplying. It's a phenomenal chapter. This chapter is really takes from the bottoms down to the tops up. And as we look through it, Dr. Luke, who is the author of this book of Luke, he tells us the story of persecution, of prayer, of power, from tragedy to transition and ultimately to triumph. So King Herod learned that Peter had escaped, he was very upset. He was very angry. His anger he showed towards the guards who were guarding over him. Because you should remember, Herod had no respect for human life. He was a cruel man. No respect. If you are of no use, he will throw you just like that. So let's come to Acts chapter 12 and verse number 18. We are going to continue our narrative from there. Acts chapter 12. And we read that as soon as it was day. So this happened in the night when the daytime came. It says there was no small stir among the soldiers about what became of Peter. Which means the soldiers were in serious trouble now. They could not figure out how Peter had escaped, where he had gone. They had no idea. But he's not there. And then we see what Herod is doing. He is going to examine the guards. So we go to the next verse, Acts 12:19. It says, but when Herod searched for him, not found him, he examined the guards. That's what he says. He examined what he was actually doing. He was interrogating them. He believed that this was an inside job. How else can he escape from the prison which was so well guarded? You know, you cannot go out of a maximum security prison with two soldiers chained to you, left and right, and soldiers guarding you. How can he escape like that? He thought that there was somebody
was done it as an inside job, and he was so angry. Do you know what he did? He said, I'm going to kill all the soldiers. So you see in verse number 19, it says that after he examined the guards, he commanded that they should be put to death. The poor guards who did not even know what was happening, they were all executed by King Herod. And then we continue reading that he, that is Herod, went down from Judea to Caesarea and he stayed there. He just left the scene. He was so furious that he lost face with the Jews. And he could not execute Peter as he planned. But do you know what? You do your thing in your time. But remember, your time is coming very shortly. You try to kill others, but the sword is... God is the one who sits on the heaven. He is looking at you and he will not let you go scot-free. So Luke says he stayed there. And but you know what? With God, let me tell you, this is what happens. He allows certain things to happen for a certain period of time. But then there is a point of time when God says, you cannot go further. This is enough. I saw everything that you did. That is enough. You cannot move further. And then God decides to act. Many people think that you can get away with wickedness and all kinds of sin and filthiness in your life. But let me tell you, a time coming when God will say, this is enough. My grace, I gave it to you. This was a grace period, but now I'm going to judge you. He becomes from a person full of grace and love to a God who is going to judge the people. And do you know what? That is a very dangerous place to be. If you continually and intentionally break the law of God, if you continually and intentionally go the wrong way, there's a time when God says, I am going to put you down. So as we look at this next passage, I want to tell you three things that we must be clear about God's ultimate plan and purpose for our world. I'm going to give you three things. Very simple. I try to make the word of God as simple as possible so you can understand. It's not like too much of a thinking even to be done. So the first thing I will tell you is that as we see in our world today, God is allowing rampant sin in our world today. Why all this evil is happening? When you look around you, so much of sin and wickedness happening. I want to tell you, on the light of God's word, God is allowing it. God is allowing it. Because as you see here, we are going to read some of the most sobering verses in the Bible. I want you to please look at the next piece of verses that we are going to read now. Acts chapter 12 verses 20 to 23. We are going to read that. We read like this. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. But they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace because the country was supplied with the food from the king's country. So on a set day, Herod was arrayed in a royal apparel, sat on his throne. He gave an oration to them. The people kept shouting, the voice of a god and not of a man. The people were shouting. Immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And the word of God says he was eaten by worms and died. This is scary, I'm telling you. God will not tolerate when somebody steals the glory that is due to him. When you overstep the boundary that God has placed you, he will allow you to go for some time, but then he will rein you in. There is a time coming that God will rein us in, because all glory belongs to God alone. I want to tell you in context with what we see today. You cannot take the glory from God. He deserves all glory and honor and praise. You cannot take away or steal away His glory. He will not agree to that. Let me give you a background of this for your understanding. We see the name of two cities, Tyre and Sidon. Herod was angry with these two cities because these countries were depending upon Herod for food, for grain. He was vicious. Herod was cruel. So he had initiated a persecution against the faithful in Jerusalem. You know that Herod had ordered James, the brother of John, to be executed. And then because he was educated in Rome, Herod, he became a confidant of the emperor Caligula. Caligula, that was the name. And then Claudius. All those emperors, he was very much confident with them. So after he ordered the execution of James, he realized that the Jews liked that. So he ordered Peter to be jailed. He wanted to execute Peter, but then he saw that the Passover is coming, so let me wait till Passover in order to execute Peter. He was a hypocrite. And then it says that here in the passage, it says he had a problem with these Phoenician cities of Tyre and Sidon. These two cities were destroyed by Alexander, but they were rebuilt. They became centers of international trade. Sidon was a prosperous city with a commercial center, but they depended on Judea for grains, and Herod stopped the grains from going to the cities. So what happened was that there was an embargo against these two cities. They got hold of a confidant of Herod, and they kind of soothed him, and they said, please, we are friends, we are not enemies, please tell King Herod to supply the grains to us. We are willing to pay the prices and everything. And so, kind of the King Herod, he kind of won the battle that he had, because he'd stopped the grain. They came begging on their feet, on their knees. So he said, okay. And then as part of a set program, they decided to invite Herod to deliver a speech before the dignitaries of these two cities. And that is why we see here, Luke is very careful to include a minor detail. The fact that Herod was dressed in royal robes. He was dressed as a king. There is a contemporary source from where we get, by the name of Josephus, we get a little more of what happened that day. He says the date was August 1st of 44 AD. It was 5 months after Peter escaped from prison. Josephus explains that Herod donned, put on a robe that was woven with threads of silver. He came to the amphitheater on that morning. He stood up and the sun was shining upon him. And when the sun shone, the silver thread that was lining his robe was reflecting. He was looking like somebody, like a sun that is giving out the glory. He was looking so glorious. This was a powerful spectacle to the audience. But Herod did not leave everything to chance. He got his people inside the crowd. They started chanting, "This is not the voice of a man. This is the voice of a God." Because they looked at him, and he looked like a God figure with that glorious robe that he was wearing. And Josephus confirms that in his historical writing. What was the sin of Herod? Of course, in addition to all the other sins, murder, theft, assault, he was guilty of all the sins. But his final sin that God said enough was that he did not give glory to God that was due unto him. He took away that glory and he equated himself with God. When people said, "He is a God, he speaks like a God," Herod lifted his hands and said, "Yes, that's me. I am the greatest. I am like God. Look at me." He did not give glory to God. It was a great sin. He had taken the honor that was due to God. Today, if you see around, you see many of those kind of people, dictators, who are trying to take away the glory that is due to God. So the first thing that we should, I want to tell you, don't be surprised. Seeing the sin that is rampant in our world. Murder, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, you name it, pornography. Things are rampant in our world today. We come to the second thing that I want you to be clear about, which is also part of God's plan. The second thing is that God will judge every sinner one day. God is going to judge every sinner one day. So what was the final straw that God saw? Herod got judged right away. You know, he took the glory and he did not give God honor and praises. And the Lord, the angel of the Lord struck him. That's what the word of God says. It was a divine judgment that was immediate. God, the angel of the Lord struck him and he died. Do you know God's many times judgment is also personal. I want you to think about Apostle Paul standing before Felix and Drusilla. Later on in the book of Acts, when we come to Acts 24, verse number 25, we would think that apostle will speak about peace and joy and goodness of God. It is all good, but do you know what the apostle Paul spoke? He reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. This is what he reasoned with that royal couple. Righteousness, self-control, and the judgment of God that is going to come. Let me tell you that every one of us should realize that God is going to judge every sinner one day. God is going to judge every sinner without doubt. God has said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." No matter what they do to you today, have no fear. One day I'm going to make all the wrongs right. And do you know what happened? I've never seen this. I don't know how it happened. It says that Herod was eaten by worms. Where did the worms come out of? He was standing on a place and in that glory. But think about his body being eaten by some bacteria, some worms that were flesh-eating bacteria. He died in that very instant that he stood up and declared himself glorious before God. Do you know this has happened to many of the dictators in our world? Let me tell you a few of them just for your information. Hitler perished in his bunker, dead by his own hand. Mussolini was seized by the people. He was hung upside down. Trujillo was ambushed, gunned down by members of his own armed forces. Saddam Hussein, you remember that some years ago, he was dragged out of a spider hole where he attempted to die and then he was hanged to death. Muhammad Gaddafi, he was dragged and wounded and bloodied after a storm in the sewer where he was hiding. He was killed by a bullet on his head. Where are all these dictators gone? There is a time when God will say, "Enough, that is enough. You cannot continue this anymore." They have no future if they continue to exalt. Because you know why? Let me declare to you for everybody's knowledge what God's plan is regarding every sinner. Turn to Acts 17 verse 31. We read, what is God's plan? He says, God has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Who is the man? The capital M man. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. The text says Jesus is going to judge everyone one day. We are all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. At the end, there will be a great white throne judgment. Every living person will stand before his throne and he is going to judge us for what we have done on this world. You have it easy. You can do whatever you want now. But remember, God is going to judge us all one day. Never forget that. We are not going to live forever. Our life is but a breath, a short time. But we are eternally one day to face audience with the Lord who died for us. And he will ask us one day. He will call into account everything that we have done against him, against his plan, against the things that was faithful. We have crossed boundaries in different areas. God is going to judge you one day. And that time there will be no mercy for him. He will be a just God who will judge. And that is not going to be pretty. That is going to be very sad. I'm sorry. Herod was eaten by worms. And I'm telling you, this is something which is very much troubling to me. All of a sudden, God judged this man for this. Do you know that sometimes God's judgments are very swift? Sometimes they come slowly. We don't know because God is the one who judges. Some people from the Bible, you know, Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus, his conscience could not let him live. He went and he hanged himself. His body fell off to the bottom of a ravine and it burst open. Judas Iscariot, who was with Jesus for 3.5 years. Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to the Holy Spirit. They fell down dead immediately by the judgment of God. Elymas, a false prophet, who attempted to turn the proconsul of Cyprus from faith in the Son of God. He was stuck blind. We read in the Word of God. Today we don't see that swift judgment. So you think that God is not going to do anything. Believe me, that's a wrong notion. Because God is going to judge one day. God spoke, but God is actually not for judging. He does not want to condemn us. He wants to save us. You see, there are some times we see about the mind of God. Acts 18, 9 and 10. God speaks, "Do not be afraid. Do not be silent. I am with you. No one will attack you or harm you." Don't be silent. God is speaking to Paul. The Lord is speaking in a vision at that time. And then we see in the middle of the hurricane in verse number Acts 27 verse 24. Look at that verse, 27:24. "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. God has granted all of you who sail with you." God does not want us to be judged. He wants to save us. But we have the choice of free will today. You can do what you want with what you have. You have some resources, time, talent, money. You are at a liberty to do and choose what you want. But remember that God is going to judge one day. One day he is going to say, "This is enough." Regarding Saul, I totally believe that if he had not called Jesus Lord on that way of Damascus, he would have been judged and he would have died without becoming Apostle Paul. But King Herod, he knew about Jesus. He was unrepentant. Do you know what? God allowed Herod to do many things before he put his judgment. Do you know that God allowed him to place that dazzling royal robe of silver. He could admire himself on the mirror and congratulate him on, "What a dashing royal figure I am. Everybody looks at me and say, 'Oh, you're a god.'" He was parading in his bedroom, making this adjustment and that alteration, and then ready to wear the robe to the theater. He sat in the throne and so that the sunlight will flash on him. God did not do anything until when they allowed to open his mouth and hear the multitude say, "This is the voice of a God and not of a man." He said, "Yes, yes, continue, speak louder, let me hear that." He had gone too far and God judged him. Today, as I see our country here, this country is on a slippery slope, going in sin and degradation. But let me tell you, a time is going to come when God says, "Enough is enough. I cannot continue on this." So let me come to the third and the final thing as our time is going very fast. The third thing about God's plan is that His church is going to triumph one day. This is the plan of God. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hate shall not prevail against it. The church of Jesus Christ is going to triumph one day. God's plans will be fulfilled whether you are part of His plan today or not. He is going to fulfill His plan. Acts 12:24 tells us this. But the word of the Lord grew and multiplied. Even after all that happened, God's word grew and multiplied. It was a different story for the faithful people. You know, today also we see the church is growing. People are accepting Christ and they are following the Lord. And God has given us a great commission. In Matthew 28:18-20, the Lord Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all the things I am commanding you. Lo, I am with you even to the ends of the earth. God tells us to go. The problem is not with Him. The problem is with us. Instead of standing on the promises of God, we are standing inside the premises where we have been placed. We are not going out. Jesus tells us to go, but we are hiding in our comfort zones. This is a truth that must not be neglected. The first church faced unimaginable persecution. Everyone was opposed. The religious, civic leadership, they were slaughtered, jailed, beaten, harassed, but they were not quiet. They declared boldly, as we read in Acts 4:12, there is no salvation by any other name but the name of Jesus. No other name. In Acts 4:19 and 20, they declared again, whether it is a right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge, but we cannot but speak the things we have seen and heard. Maybe that is what is lacking in our lives. We have not seen or heard anything. So we have nothing to speak about. We are silent. Think about it. You know, the early church saints, they were beaten up. They were put in prisons. They were killed. But those who were scattered, they continued to preach the word. The greater the persecution, the greater was the message that was supplied. For everybody's knowledge, let me just give you a few historical facts. Please note it down. Very interesting. Do you know that the earliest disciples, most of them, except Apostle John, their fates were terrible. Do you know that Matthew suffered martyrdom when he was slain in Ethiopia? Mark died in Alexandria. He was dragged through the streets. Luke was hanged on an olive tree in Greece. John was put in boiling oil, but he did not die, so he was banished to Patmos. Peter was crucified in Rome with his head upside down. James was thrown from a pinnacle of the temple before being beaten to death. Bartholomew was flayed alive. His skin was ripped open while he was alive. Andrew was bound onto a cross from where he preached to the persecutors until he died. Jude was shot with arrows till he died. Thomas, you know, was speared to death from behind, and we all know in Chennai in South India. He died there. Matthias was first stoned and then he was beheaded. Barnabas of the Gentiles was stoned to death at Salonica. And Paul, after a prolonged imprisonment, he was beheaded in Rome. Do you know that the opposition could not hinder the advance of faith? And the faith was nourished and strengthened. Herod may wanted to have destroyed the church, but he fell down. And today I want to close here. I want to stop here. I want you to think about it. What is God's ultimate plan and purpose? God wants everyone to be redeemed from every tribe and nation. And they should glorify Him through their lives every day. Enjoy God forever. God Himself wants to be with them and He wants to be their God. You know, many times God has expressed about this in different places. Numbers 14 verse 21, God said, truly as I live, the earth shall be filled with the glory of God.
God tells Moses that as truly as he is the living God, the whole earth will be filled with his glory. The prophet Habakkuk adds a little more description to this plan in Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 14. When he said, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea." You know, there is no part of the sea where the waters does not cover, which means that there will be no place on earth that God's glory will not be found. God's master plan is to fill this earth with his glory through the church. That is his master plan. God's glory is revealed in his character and image. What we need to do is to reflect God's glory image as we develop into his character. Jesus Christ is the key of God's master plan. Everything points out through him. He is the only one who fulfilled the purpose of God. He revealed God's glory as a sinless person. He became our substitute. So today it is progressing. The church of Jesus Christ is being built all around the world. You can choose whether to be a part of that or you can choose to stay at the sidelines. Either way does not matter, because God will build his church. Nothing we can do can stop it. That is the most exciting news. But the challenge is not about the future, it is about the present. What are you going to do about the time that you have? I want you to close your eyes, every one of you. If you have accepted Jesus Christ in your heart, you are a child of God. Make a promise to God that you will live for God alone and you will glorify the Lord in and through your life. Make a promise to God right now. If there is anyone sitting in this crowd, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, I encourage you to do right now. Pray to the Lord. Lord, come into my heart. Forgive me, for I am a sinner. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be judged the wrong way. I want to be part of your eternal kingdom. Can you pray right now? Just take a few more minutes and pray. Ask God to fill your hearts with his glory. Can we just pray, Lord Jesus, come back quickly. Let the worship team come to the front, and as we are going to sing our final song, can we all just stand up on our feet for a moment? You know, the song says, "Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds." Jesus is going to come one day, you know, in the clouds, and he is going to take us with him to that eternal abode where we will live for him forever. Can you just put your faith in Christ? Just say thank you. Lift up your hands, all of you. Just say, "Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let me be faithful and true to you. Let me never steal the glory that you deserve. Lord, let me, Lord, glorify you, because you're going to come one day very soon. Father, Lord, you're going to come, and Lord, help me to be, Father, Lord, ready to receive when you come. Let me to watch and pray. Let me not fall into temptations. Keep me from evil, Lord. Lord, keep me to look to you are coming very soon. I want to be taken when you come."